Yo! We are live in Burbank. Playboy Radio, it's the Naughty Show. We didn't get fired, so we're back.
Amazing.
Amazing. Sound quality was awesome. The feedback was great. Excited to be here. My managers call me right now when the show starts. Come on! I'm an important client. You should know where I am at all times. It's good to be back in our beautiful studio. How are you, Vicky? Just me and you right now.
I know.
Where are all the people? Well, we got Sam. We got Dragonfly. And the always talkative Lenny is here, sitting quietly, looking at his phone.
He gave a fist up, so he's down.
Trying to figure out if he got another Twitter follower by just me saying his name.
Gareth is in Wisconsin this week.
Trying to pork Packer fans. We're going to have him call in a little later in the show, in another episode. You know he's out there just... I mean, he had a show on MTV. That's like royalty in Wisconsin.
Oh, man.
He's going to be banging farmers.
And he was on two of them.
I was actually in Milwaukee, and it's a really cool place, one. And two, the girls are way more attractive than you thought they'd be. I mean, cheeseheads. You always see the cheeseheads and the Packer fans, and they're not small people.
I gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
An XL crowd.
It is an XL crowd.
Gotcha.
It's good to be here. I was in La Jolla. I did a show with Tony Hinchcliffe, and I'm going to get her on the show hopefully in the next couple weeks. Annie Letterman.
Nice.
She's very funny.
They're both hilarious. Yeah. Did you record your album?
I did. Well, the guy who was supposed to record it on Friday didn't show up. So then he showed up Saturday. And so I got a good show. It was fun. It was a crazy weekend. The La Jolla Comedy Store is like, La Jolla is where like Oprah Winfrey lives.
Is that, where is that? Like near San Diego?
Yeah, it goes like San Diego, PB, it goes La Jolla, San Diego, PB.
Okay. Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's pretty far out there.
Well, but it's rich. I mean, it is rich. Mm-hmm. Like the bad section of town is like 70K.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Fuck.
Like if you work a job, you're not really doing well in La Jolla. You have to own the job.
Gotcha.
You have to be able to fire people. That's La Jolla. I mean, everybody lives out there. It's gorgeous. So it's an interesting crowd because they're like really rich, but they love to act ghetto.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like rich ghetto people. It's really weird.
But they're responsive to it.
Like, I'm going to tell you, I love La Jolla Comedy Store. It's one of my favorite clubs to play, but it is by far one of the rowdiest rooms you will ever play.
Really?
Yeah. It's like the white version of Def Jam.
Well, maybe because, like, everyone, if they're all, like, well off, they're probably all carefree. So they go out and they fucking do it up.
Yeah, they get shit-faced.
Drinks are flowing.
Yeah.
They have no worries.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's good-looking. It's crazy. And I think I had a bunch of escorts in the crowd, tons of lesbians, one dude that was so blown out on cocaine. It was hilarious. And I kept saying, I'm like, how much blow are you on, bro? And at no point did he go, dude, I don't do blow. He's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot.
Just sweating. There's no reason to sweat at a comedy club. Guy is just sweating like he's on trial for murder. But I was doing the show, and, you know, I was trying to... get all the greatest hits over the last couple of years because I haven't put out an album in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm going through my greatest hits and I do the time I was asked to do a show for the Special Olympics.
Okay.
And I start telling that joke and a woman in the front row just freezes on me. I'm like, man, what's wrong? She's like, I have a brother that's retarded, which I've never called. I don't call them retarded.
Right.
I don't think that applies to them. And they're like, they're special.
Right, right.
They're challenged. Retarded is when you're like an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy's retarded.
That's a slang term to me.
Right?
In my vernacular, anyway. So now she's made it weird.
Okay, so she gets...
Now she's made it politically incorrect.
Completely.
Right.
Gets really angry, and she starts to freeze the room. The room is just icing.
Right,
I can feel it icing.
It starts there, and it spreads little by little.
What's his name? Jake Gyllenhaal? I'm like Jake Gyllenhaal from The Day After Tomorrow. I'm just running from the frigid cold. So I have one Hail Mary pass, and I do this only in special occasion. I ask this lady if I can hump her face.
All right. Stop. So you're telling a joke with words.
Yes.
She gets offended.
Right.
And your solution is to hump her face.
No, I'd like to say I asked her if I could make love to her face. Slow grind her face.
And how did she react to that?
Surprisingly well. For someone who had just was ready to set the La Jolla Comedy Store on fire, she was really open to the idea of me slamming my ham against her.
So all her principles out the door.
Well, she's also like 45, and at that point, any dick near her, she gets excited about.
Did she join you on stage, or did you just start kind of humping to her from the stage?
No, I told her, let me hump your face. And I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I've humped somebody's face, it has gone incredibly well. And they always leave with a smile on their face. I've never humped somebody's face, and they were like, oh, that sucked. The look on their face is like a kid in Toys R Us. They are so excited. Their world has changed. Their energy changes. I just heal with my slow grind.
I would imagine it being the exact opposite of that.
Oh, no, man. I've done it many a times. Many a time. And many a time.
I just can't believe that that works.
And it heals them. And I completely changed a situation that was going horribly bad and turned it into a rousing standing O moment.
Well, because the rest of the crowd can't be mad on her behalf if you're humping her face.
Yeah, I'm giving her happiness. I'm injecting love into her face. Now, the key is not to, you have to position their face.
How close do you get?
I get in there. I try to, I try.
Is there physical contact?
I try to have my nuts slam against them through the, through
is
my
jeans.
Is
this even legal? Is this a legal thing? Okay, so and
if
and
love's illegal, Vicky, then I want to be an outlaw.
And you've never ever had any complaints. I've never seen anyone write a blog about you.
Yeah, Vicky,
you're humping faces.
I'm scientific. People don't get that about me. They think because I do dick jokes, I'm some caveman. I'm scientific. I'm a scientist up on stage.
But doing a dick joke and humping their face is so very different.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. I mean, to pull that out. Most guys, it would have just tanked the room, but not me.
I was going to say, you own these people.
I
you
do.
Own that audience.
I really do. I've been
for not one person to get mad at that.
Nope. I mean, I'm not saying I don't walk people. If I don't walk at least four people, I don't feel like I've done my job. If you don't have a couple closed-minded sheep get up in anger because you're talking honest on stage, then you know what? You're not doing something right, bro. Get up, walk out. So I'm recording my set the first night.
Mm-hmm.
They had me doing 40. I'm like, I'm recording a CD. I'm doing at least 50.
Yeah.
So I tell this the light guy, and for you don't do stand up. It's like a comedian gets a light. It's a certain amount of time till he has to get off stage. I like a 15 minute light.
For something that long, yeah.
You know I have these bits that just go forever.
Yeah.
And I don't like to run the light. I don't really get off on that. Some guys get off on that. I don't. So I'm like, give me a 15 minute light. Well, there's a miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
So they only thought I was going to get a 5 minute light. So I had my whole set, right?
Oh my God.
And I'm going through my set and it's like 50 jokes that are, I'm going to go till I get the light.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 3/4 through this set and there's still no light. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm running out of material.
It's going to end. I'm going to hit the end of this list.
And, well, I'm not really worried about the end of the set. I'm worried that the arc of the show, well, the arc of my set is completely thrown off. But what I'm really worried about is that checks haven't been dropped and the waitresses aren't getting their money and it's going to be a giant clusterfuck.
Right, right.
If I'm going to get off too early, I'm going to be fucked.
Right.
So I'm just thinking of jokes I haven't put on my last CD and I'm just throwing stuff out. And I go about 45 minutes without getting light. 45 to 50.
Right.
Before I get the light. So I'm crushing up to that point.
Right.
Once I get the light, I'm like, what am I doing right now? The set just goes into the shitter.
Oh, no.
And the last 10 minutes is me telling them how awesome I am and how retarded they are.
Well, that's great for a CD. Also.
And I will be putting out a CD of me bombing.
That's the type of
I will be putting out a CD of me killing hecklers.
Oh, my God.
Those days are coming.
Well, those could be bonus tracks.
They could be bonus tracks. I went down there. It was a good show, man. It was a lot of fun. La Jolla's crazy, dude. La Jolla is crazy. I did morning television, which nobody told me I was going to do until I got in the car.
Oh my God.
And
really?
I have a zit so big that it's getting its mail forwarded to my house. That's how big this thing is. And I go on the, and it's HD TV.
Oh my God.
And they love to fuck with me down there. So every time I look into the what's on the screen, they just got a shot of my zit.
What? Why?
I don't
Who
know,
are
man.
These people? They're just Can we see this video?
I don't know. It was funny because the rapey, they always love, they love bringing me on this morning show. They love me following the most tragic news possible. So did you hear about this hepatitis with Costco?
No.
Oh, yeah. So anyways, there's these berries in Costco. They sold frozen berries. It's giving people hepatitis.
Oh, my God.
So they brought in one of the people from San Diego who got hepatitis, and it happened to be this completely butch lesbian. Like, her and her girlfriend, they had the exact same haircut.
Right.
Just like a kind of like, I don't know how, spiky butch. So she goes on.
Sounds like your type of crowd, actually. Yeah,
well, lesbians, it was really weird. There were tons of lesbians all over my shows. And I always talk about that on stage, that my crowd are lipstick lesbians. Like, yes. The fun lesbians.
Right.
Not the angry lesbians who, like, wear flannels and drink Coors Light. And the fun ones who, like, oh, my God, look who's here. Boom. Hey, hold on. We'll bring you in after the break. Let him sit there.
Oh.
You don't want to?
Continue.
I'm on roll. I'm talking about. So anyways, we get up there and I talk about how I try to make out with the chick with hepatitis as a joke.
Right.
She goes, I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't just make out with her. She has hepatitis. She's like, yeah, we're the show that brings on lesbians with hepatitis. And everybody
what?
In the room just froze. And I'm like, glad I didn't say that.
What?
And then I proceed to bury myself because we were talking about that guy in Memphis who has 22 kids by 14 women. And he's a black guy. And I'm like, was he trying to start his own basketball team? Room
oh
just gets quiet.
God.
I'm like, he's even got a second unit. He's got a bench, too. I'm like, that's a funny joke, man. Everyone gets quiet. I don't know how you can bang 14 chicks in a small area, which is I'm assuming the ghetto part of Memphis. I don't know. I'm just going to go with on a whim that it's the ghetto part of Memphis.
Take a leap. Go ahead. Yeah.
How are you going to bang 14 women, have 22 kids with them, and nobody's talking about it? Women in Memphis obviously know how to keep a secret.
Apparently.
I banged two waitresses at a comedy club. Word's out. Everything's shut down. This guy's just tapping ass everywhere. Nobody's talking.
So this is your bit on like a local news show?
Yeah, that I had to go in on.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's the story of being a comic on the road. You just gotta, it's like Quantum Leap. You just show up in an area and you hope you know, you got to find out what the rules are.
Right.
And how to succeed. That's pretty much
how
it goes.
When they're dropping lesbian hepatitis,
yeah.
It seems like it's open season.
Yeah. I mean, she's talking about, I don't know what to tell you.
Isn't the news here insane?
Okay, we'll talk about that. We're going to be right back in 2 seconds. We have one of my favorite people on the planet. He's going to be coming in. He's going to co-host since Gareth isn't here. We're going to come right back with a good friend, Brody Stevens. Yo, welcome back. It's the Naughty Show. And we have live in studio. I'm so excited. We can't get enough of them. It's the one and only Mr. Brody Stevens.
You got it. Steven Brody Stevens, 9:15 here on the West Coast.
Boom. Just came from set? Just ran from set?
No, I was off today, actually, and I was working on some camera equipment and being self-contained, and I went home, and I took a nap, and I ate well, and I emailed, and it was a semi-productive day.
Do you feel guilty when you're not just going hard all the time? Do you ever have a down moment where Brody just gets to chill?
Oh, I try to have those. Yeah, I try to, you know, get up and get coffee every morning and chill and relax and read emails or, I mean, news. It's not all about emails.
What kind of emails you getting? Positive emails? Positive push emails?
I usually get positive emails, but it's not. When I said emails, I meant Twitter and Vines. Right. And
you're just a big Vine guy? I just said, okay, we're always chasing something. I'm done. I'm out.
I have fun with Vine. I'm not doing it to... I mean, I'll do a lens or something on it, but I'm not going to do a whole production value where, okay, guys...
You're not going Steven Spielberg with this stuff.
Right. I mean, there's some people who do some funny vines. Don't get me wrong.
I won't.
Right.
But if I'm looking at a vine, I go, how'd they do that? I don't want somebody necessarily to look at my vines and go, how'd they do that? How do you do that? Because there's always somebody who's going to be a little more technical than me these days out there. And maybe I could... rig something up. I'll put a little bit of rigness into independence into things.
Right.
But I honestly try to put my creativeness back into me. You know,
I like
it's like
it.
There's always going to be somebody who's better at Vine, better at Twitter, but can they be better at me on stage telling jokes or in a short
That's so true,
video
Brody.
On
your birthday party has become an event in Los Angeles.
Something of legend.
I slept. I'm sorry I missed it.
That's okay.
Vicky was upset you didn't invite her, though.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about it?
Why? Well, I think there were some people who were upset that they weren't invited. I was not necessarily in charge of the invites, and it was kind of...
Is it because she doesn't have enough credits?
Oh,
no. My God.
She would... It's not a credit thing.
Okay.
There are people with negative
credits. It was followers,
credits.
Right? It was followers. I knew it.
And it wasn't about... It was... Because if you're throwing a birthday party, you aren't really doing it. People do it for you. They take care of the invites and all that. So that was a little weird for me, number one. And then number two, we were shooting it, we were videoing it. So there was a lot of moving parts into this party. My mom being there and
did you get laid?
Well, I wasn't putting out that energy. I was working.
You're in work mode.
Yeah, I've been in work mode probably for the past, 3 years, going hard, work mode.
Are you ready for your life to change, Brody? Are you ready for it to be a totally different world where chicks are going to just
want
to bone
you? I mean, I'm okay with that. It's fun when...
Are you ready for chicks that they're going to be known as the chick who boned Brody Stevens?
Oh, this is an audio show.
That's going to be your credit.
So we're talking about chicks. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with girls wanting to be with me. But I may settle down within a year or two with a girlfriend or a potential wife. I don't know. But, yeah, I want to have fun. I want to be able to.
Are you going to have to talk about the tranny at any point with your future wife?
How dare you?
Well, probably not now.
Well,
it's all been aired.
You know, Sam, I have.
Please welcome to the show.
Whoa.
Friend of mine, I love.
Do I stand
this
here?
Guy.
Or do I stand over there?
Bert Kreischer.
I thought you were one of the. You look like a mixed martial art guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to toughen it up a little bit.
You really look tough.
You look good.
You look Bakersfield tough.
I thought to myself, I'm starting to do like the pullover hoodies is my new thing. Like that's my new kind of thing. I was thinking to myself, because I was working out before I came, I was like, do you think Brody will be in shorts? Because if Brody's in shorts, is my mic not on?
What's going on? Do we have a situation?
Is this
try one this
better?
One.
Oh, okay, much better, much better. So
go
I was,
ahead. Go ahead.
I was working out before I came here, and I thought to myself, will Brody be in shorts? Can I show up in shorts, or do I need to put on jeans and a sweatshirt? And I fucking rolled the dice, and I was like, there's no way Brody's going to be in shorts.
Well, I appreciate you dressing up.
Thank you.
Not only am I in shorts, I'm also wearing Crocs.
Crocs?
I just noticed
Crocs.
That.
That's a power move, Brody. That's a power move.
It is. I know it is.
Are those glasses prescription?
No.
Seriously?
Are you just trying?
Seriously?
They're not. I got from Bourbon Outfitters. I gotta get some backup.
Oh my God, Brody!
That's awesome.
Brody!
What? People like my glasses.
What?
They look.
But
good.
You have good sight.
I have good sight, yes. But I'm wearing them because
it's in.
No, well, I had. They're almost grown back. My eyebrows are all jacked up, so I had to kind of wear these glasses to cover them up. And then people like the glasses, so I just decided to
what
keep
happened
them.
What happened to your eyebrows?
Oh, I had a clipper incident. There were like...
Is it a clipper incident or was it a laser incident?
Clipper, no laser.
Oh.
I had a laser incident years ago. But this was more... So I got these glasses, not necessarily to look good, but to hide myself, kind of to cover things
up. It's not
up.
Triple, if I knew more about basketball, I'd have a joke about Brody hooking up with a clipper.
Yeah.
But I can't think
I
of a fucking clipper's
I said,
name.
I said Blake Griffin did it to me.
I was sitting like going, oh, what's the guy's name with the red hair that I can't.
Hilarious.
Like George Zimmern.
Brody, I'm really amazed those aren't prescription.
You know, I'm getting addicted to glasses. I want to go to this. There's a glasses store here in near Studio City, and they have frames. And
yeah. Maybe they can sponsor you.
That's what I'm saying. I'd like to get sponsored by people doing glasses, people doing laser hair removal. And that's what's a new thing? Freeze the fat?
Freeze the fat.
Have you seen that? Those ads?
Have you seen that stuff? They freeze your fat.
Are you talking about the spam train that was run on Twitter today by Garcian Garboba? Vincian? Did you not get spam?
Yeah, what was that?
Vincian Cambodia?
Yeah.
Vincian Cambodia? It was literally everyone got hit. This one thing from Women's Health just fucking, and I made a joke, like, I tried to make a joke about it, and then apparently Anthony Bourdain was the home run hitter, and he just kept saying, Vincian Cambodia causes cancer. Like, he just started going on a rant about fucking what a horrible drug it is.
But, so somehow that got hacked into everybody's Twitter?
I woke up and I had like 20 people had tweeted me from Vincian Cambodia or whatever it's called. And
holy
so I was
shit.
Like, oh, shit.
I love it when your friend send you that email and it's like, I'm in Cambodia. I've been arrested. I need $5,000.
Dave Anthony's email got hacked and he emailed everyone with that. And it was all day Twitter jokes. Like anyone that got the email, just I sent you the money.
But if you fall for that, I mean, you're an idiot, right?
No, but you're
fall for it twice. If you fall for it twice.
Okay.
Well, I got one today. It said, hi, Steven. And I kind of like the name looked like a normal name. And my name is Steven. Legally, it said, hi, Steven. It didn't say, hey, somebody's talking about you or check this out.
Yeah. See what they're saying about you on this website.
Yeah, that's the big one. I've never fought. But this one seemed real. I clicked on it. And it was some spam site. So you just don't know. But yeah, if I get spam on Twitter.
Has anyone ever bought anything from spam?
I'll take it one further. There is a group. I got into a conversation with a guy who owns a publishing company, and he was saying that he runs a group of Twitter trendsetters. So a lot of what networks will do is they'll gauge how popular a show is on how many people talked about it on Twitter. There's like a Twitter top 10, a hot list of what's the most chatted. And I remember I was on whenever it was that I was paying attention to it. I was on the same night the Kardashians were on and Hot in Cleveland. And that's all that anyone fucking talked about on Twitter. You get the top 10.
Yeah.
But this guy was like, I'll go as far as to tell you who the fucking guy is.
Are we naming names?
Yeah, I will.
What's the reason behind this?
Because there are a group of people on Twitter that are not famous, nor are they really notable for any reason. But for some reason, the people that follow them always retweet their shit, and they get things trending. So this is – I'll take it. I'm going to tell you. So I joke around about Kesha a lot on stage. I've done
shots with her.
She seems nice.
I'd fucking want to party with her so bad.
She's doing a Hollywood Bowl.
Really?
Yeah. With Pitbull, who is somehow the guy now that is in every commercial.
He's respected. Like, he's a safe guy.
I bombed so hard in front of him at the Miami Improv one time.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I bombed so hard in front of him.
No, you were telling me then Steve Trevino saved you?
Steve Trevino saved me. Steve Trevino is the reason I bombed.
This is the best episode already.
So,
Steve went on before you or after?
He was going on before me and just fucking lighting the room on fire. And I was going on. Everyone was Latino except for me. Literally, they would say my name like, and last, Bert Kreischer. And it was like, I fucking ate dicks.
Well, that's Miami, dude. I've done that improv a couple times. I don't even want to go back.
Brody. Can you do that? Is that something they do that on the road?
Great question, Brody. Why didn't we flip-flop? Because one guy was fucking murdering, and another guy was eating dicks, and they didn't want to flip that around.
Why wouldn't they, though?
I asked Steve if he wanted to flip-flop, and he was like, no, you're doing good, man. I'm glad we didn't, because I learned a lot about stand-up, and I learned that going up scared with an act is not the way to do it. You need to go up fun.
It's all attitude, man.
I learned a lot that weekend. Leanne was pregnant with Isla. Steve was destroying. Like, I'm saying, like, literally, like, destroying. Like, he had pour gasoline on the audience and stand up there with a match, and you'd watch him go. He was ripping mics like he was ripping phone books in half. Just, and you're like, oh, shit, this is going to be tough. I remember one time I told a joke, and I said something about Dominicans. And this guy, or Puerto Ricans, and this guy goes, and the front row starts doing this with his hand. Well, like, I'll do it with the mic, but he's going like this. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm going to beat you with the bat.
Oh, my God.
I go, oh, you must be Dominican, sir. And no laughs, not a fucking laugh. Now, so here's the guy's name, okay?
The Dominican guy?
No.
Okay, cool.
No. This is the guy. Pitbull. So it started off, and he said, I heard you like Kesha. I got a childhood friend that's working with her people. I'd like to try to get you in touch with her. If you noticed, please notice that I'm the one that's doing this. Okay, this is this guy.
Oh, he wants to show you his kung fu.
He wants to show me I can make this happen, and I need you to do this.
Hold that story. We're going to come back. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll hear this amazing story of Twitter's powers. All right, we're back, and we are talking Twitter powers.
Brody and I are talking about odd brains and the way odd brains work. No, I feel like if I run 5 miles tonight, what I do is I open a bottle of wine, put it up on my treadmill, get in the man cave. I've been watching.
Your man cave is great.
Thank you.
It's phenomenal.
This is going to sound really geeky. I've been watching recently, because it's on repeat, Hangover 2 a lot. And I see you once a day in Hangover 2. Come this way, guys.
Brody, were you in Hangover 3?
No.
And it didn't do well. There you go.
There you go.
You're very powerful.
It didn't do well?
It did.
It's not doing that well in America.
Well, you know what, man? It's like adult comedies, I think, are going to really struggle because they got to keep up with the internet. I mean, the internet's churning out crazy ass shit. There's no rules. It's like, go for it. I mean, like, you ever watch Tosh? You see what people are putting on the internet?
Dude.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So how are you going to put that in a movie and have a corporation
better
get behind
production
that?
Values?
It's not value. It's edginess, staying in front of the curve. Staying ahead of everybody.
But edginess doesn't necessarily mean funny. I mean,
I'm not saying you got to be like the dirtiest human being in the world. I just got to say, how about cutting edge? Is that a better?
Okay,
it's not
I like
dirty.
Cutting edge.
It's
I just think like pop comedy or pop culture comedy and this comedy out of the internet. Popularity doesn't mean funny necessarily.
Usually means the opposite.
Right, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
The funniest people are the people that no one fucking knows about.
Yeah.
Oh,
so you say that doesn't apply,
like,
to movies also?
When The Hangover came out, it kind of wasn't ahead of a lot of stuff going on in the internet. But lately, it's been really cranking up. People are just trying to do the craziest things. And it's going to be hard for comedies to compete with that.
I'll take it another step. I'll take it to the next level. Like,
that's meaning your next album. I'm going to take it another step.
I'm going to take it another step. I'm going to take it one further. I will say that I got to a place where I was like, with comedy, I was like, what am I trying to write? Because like, I was really writing a lot of, like, I always thought anything edgy with race or like something political, right on the fence where I cut half the crowd off. And then I was like, where am I going with this? Like, how far can I take this? And then I literally had to stop and go, what do I want to write about? Like, what do I really give a shit about? And I was like, fuck it. I'll just talk about, open and honestly, just about my story, my life. Just me, just stories. I was like, I'm not going to out fucking edgy guys who really don't give a fuck. And I say that to you in the sense that I know you actually don't give a fuck. Like, you really don't. Like, when it comes to, like, going to bed at night, you're not up arguing with some guy who wrote a letter to a club. You're literally going, I did my job today.
Oh, dude.
You really charge the fucking envelope. And I'll say that. You know when I first noticed that was when you did the Worldwide of Spike. And I was like, wow, I've done shows similar to that. And I was always scared. I was always scared because I was by myself. And I was like, I might get hurt. But you were like, I don't give a fuck. Let's fucking do it.
Yeah.
Let's charge it.
You know, I just did, I just recorded my album, and one of the jokes is about me banging this Mexican as she calls me the N-word as I'm plowing her. And there's three black people right in the front row, and I drop it, and it goes ice, but I don't give a shit because it's a real story in my life. I'm not trying to be like, hey, I just said the N-word, how edgy am I? Like, I got to be honest about what's going on in my life, and that's really what I'm doing. I never try to be edgy. I just try to be honest.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. And people love honesty until you start getting honest. Then they hate that shit. You know what crowds love in comedy? They love you talking about stuff we all already agree upon.
Yep.
It's really amazing. And they eat that shit. I was talking to somebody the other day about how, like, comedy and all other arts are so interesting because, like, every form of art, there's just this spectrum of it. Movies, right? There'll be, like, you'll have Shrek on one hand and then, you know, Django Unchained on another one. You know, it's like you have this wide range. Comedy, it's so, like, I mean, you could have, like, I'm alternative or whatever. But in a weird way, it's like, it's very narrow because it's really the only art that where the people in the room determine whether you're succeeding or not.
And sadly, that spectrum is very narrow. Like, yeah. it's either black comedy, Brody Stevens.
Well, but you say succeed, you know, it's like, let's say if I'm doing a show in some small town or whatever, and I'm
like
up there.
Des Moines this weekend,
well,
where I'll be
say
working.
Des Moines, but let's
That's
say,
where I'll be working in Des Moines, but let's just
Des
say
Des Moines,
that.
Iowa, come check them out at the Funny Bones. Bert Kreischer, there all
Thursday
weekend,
through
guys.
Saturday, two shows each Friday, Saturday. You were saying?
No, I was saying, let's say if I had a 30-minute show at a bar outside of L.A., and I was there, and I was doing, you know, I was struggling or whatever, but I had five friends in the back, and they were loving it. They thought it was funny, and these guys were people who, you know, direct short films, other comedians, actors. So I'm not saying I played in the back of the room, but people would walk away and go, well, you weren't successful. Like, you comedians would probably say, Brody, that was funny. Whereas, like, the general public would go, ah, this guy bombed. But in the business or the world of comedy, it's sometimes, though, it's like if you're funny to the right people. I may only be funny to a small percentage
but
of
that's,
people.
But what we're saying is, you know, to the crowd, they like a very limited thing. They like something they can digest very quickly and just churn out a laugh. They don't want to think.
Comedy crowds are like 7-year-old.
Brody Stevens is officially disgusting.
comedy crowds are like 8-year-old taste buds. They like what they like, and they know what they like, and it kind of freaks them out to like something that I don't know about that.
Oh, they almost get offended if you don't do what they like.
And it's just like feeding my daughters. I can give them chicken nuggets, but if it's chicken on a bone, they're like, "Whoa, whose bone is this?" And you're like, "It's the same fucking thing. It's just presented in a different manner."
Right.
I don't know if I'm like that. Today I took them to eat Lebanese food, which they kept calling lesbian food. And,
by the Bank of America?
No, up on Laurel Canyon, it's called Shaftk, I think. And so it was highly rated on
Yelp. I don't
Yelp.
Give away where we live and we hang out. I always very, very
up very way general. Up by Oxnard. They're like far. So but my daughter's got shish kebabs and the chicken was yellow because that's the, but they're like, I'm not going to like this. And we're like, trust me, it's chicken. You're going to like it. And they're like, I don't know. It's on a stick. And you're like, that's the way comedy crowds are.
Yeah,
and I will say, I know that I have a refined palate. When it comes to comedy, I can like the thing that I know a crowd doesn't get. They just don't get it.
Right.
And if they did, if I explained to them why they would like it, they actually would like it. That's the weirdest part about that is that you can explain to a crowd what they're missing,
right,
and then they'll get it. And that's a lot of what podcasting is doing. I was talking to Todd Glass last night, and I was saying it's so funny because what's happening with a lot of us is that we're getting these – our audiences are coming as a special event, and they're paying to see tickets, and they're wanting to see good comedy. It's a lot like the alternative rooms. I got to be honest with you. I always shit on those rooms because I thought they were easy. No, they're not easy. They're just not doing fucking the road clubs. It's not – you don't have 9 bikers that one's going to prison tomorrow that they want their last night out.
Right.
It's people that want to see comedy.
Right.
That's who you should be doing comedy to.
Right.
Doing comedy in an alternative room is the exact same as versus a club in, like, say, Des Moines, where I'll be this weekend.
This weekend, Funny Bones, Bert Kreischer. Tickets are now available on laughstub.com.
It's like open water swimming versus swimming in a pool. Like, open water swimming, you're like, fuck, there's sharks out here. There's a riptide. There's waves. There's an undercurrent.
You know what? No black people.
And you know what? There's no beach in Des Moines. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Facebook's blown up. But like, I think that what's happening now with this podcasting is that fans of comedy are coming out seeking out voices they're learning to get. Like, Todd Glass is now selling out. Fucking, and he can do whatever the fuck he wants because people will go there with him just like we always have. And like, the more people that find you on these podcasts, Brody, I think will come to your shows, seek you out, and go, fuck, this is like all of a sudden
I think
I'm
your
getting
show,
how
yeah,
good sushi
show is going to be huge for you. I've always said you have an interesting potential. You have your own
potential.
No, because it's like not a lot. I mean, like, no one's really done what Stephen Wright did a long time ago. And for some reason, I think you have that weird kind of potential that he has. Like that he could get an arena full of people to enjoy what he's doing.
I'm going to say thank you, Sam. And I'm visualizing that right now, and it feels good.
Is it positive?
Yeah, it's real positive. I've never thought that I'd want to do an arena. I never thought I'd be the Dane Cook of the next generation.
Dane Cook's such an interesting guy, dude. Did you hear about Boston? And I'm not.
No, tell
I
me.
Like
I want to hear. I want to hear all this stuff.
This is an anti-Dane.
Record, I want to hear everything.
That tease right there is like waking up Christmas morning and going, "Shit, there's presents downstairs. I can't wait." To,
yeah,
I can't wait to find
yeah,
out.
Are you gonna really? Go, are you gonna go to break?
And
or
I love
to
Dane too.
No,
yeah, go
we
to
have
break.
Time.
No, basically, you heard about him doing the Boston benefit.
Okay,
for the bombing.
Okay,
and they sold out this arena, and then they were live streaming it. So they could make more money. He tells them they can't stream him his act because he's doing new material and he wants to do new material, so they can't stream it. And I'm like, dude, you're doing a benefit in your hometown.
Yeah, like Aerosmith.
You have
was there
three
just to put it in
1 hour specials out.
Yeah.
Pull 15 minutes from across those
how
3
long,
hours.
How long was he doing?
I think 20 minutes.
And he wanted to do all new stuff or
yeah, I just don't get it.
So he was there a lot of backlash?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Where do I find
that's
him?
Your friend who trends on Twitter. I think he was trending.
This is the first I've heard of it. It makes sense. It makes sense on both sides, I guess. Like but I don't. I would just I would just do old material.
Yeah, I would totally do old material.
I would do old material.
But
so like,
would
fine,
I.
Stream it.
I mean, there's just out. You know what's so funny is like, I'm recording a new CD, and there's some stuff on my old CD. That when you were like, when I was touring with that material, I couldn't do it on the radio because you don't want to do jokes. You know, when you're doing morning radio, you don't want to do jokes you're going to do later in the show because it'd be like, I heard that. You can't even, like, if you do Rogan's podcast, don't even bring up a premise that you're thinking about working on, because then you'll work with them, and as soon as you drop it, you just hear them. We've heard that, dude.
Yeah.
You know, so now it's like I'm recording this new CD. And I don't do any of that material. So, you know, you can do more on radio just dropping fucking super bombs.
Old school fucking jams.
Crushing.
Yeah.
That's the best. And you're just killing in the room. You're like, this is the easiest thing ever.
That's why I love Canada.
Canada's the best.
You go up to Canada and they've never seen you ever. They don't know anything you've done. So you go up and you can light a room on fire for 60 minutes and be like, I'm bringing out an oldie. I'm bringing out a thunder. New one, thunder. Closer. Yes. This is a closer I wrote when I didn't have kids. I'm out of here, bitches.
Do you have any...
I love Canada.
Do you
Canada.
Have a time expiration on your jokes?
Yes.
Like, are you like, okay, this joke is 10 years old. I'm not going to do it anymore?
I don't... Right now, in like... I preface this by saying, In the States, I have like... I am only doing new material now because I'm trying to write. So, like, I don't have any, like, really time limit. I'll tell you what my time limit is. That fucking Machine story. I've told it now for, like,
I was just
thinking
today, you came on my National Lampoon show and told that story.
Yeah, that was, how long ago was that?
That was, like, 8 years ago.
And I've now told it on the road straight for this is my second, solid second year telling it. And I'm going back to markets. But the problem is that I assume everyone's heard it, but not like. But when you go into a room, maybe 7 people have heard it, and those 7 people are yelling they want to hear it again because they brought 10 people.
I think it's something you can't do, though. I think that story is so good that it could be like a greatest hits. Like, you know, when Van Halen goes on the road and does Jump, you know, it's like people want to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to hear some new songs, but if you don't hear the classics.
Yeah, I think that I get that vibe that if it's like one time in 2 years I haven't told it. One time on stage, like on like doing an hour, I haven't told it. And I was like, it was a third show late in Columbus. I was drunk. I was like, who fucking cares? No one's going to care. I get done. And an entire group of like 14 people were like, dude, we drove like an hour and a half to come see you and you didn't tell the story.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my God. And they were like, that's the only reason we came is to hear that story.
Oh,
like,
my God.
We brought people, and I was like, all right, everyone get in the bar. And so I sat at the Columbus Funny Bone Bar, and I told the story for
that's
them.
That's hilarious. And that's like when I saw Lenny Kravitz, and he didn't do Are You Gonna Go My Way. I was like fucking furious, bro.
He didn't do the song?
Yeah, I was at the height of the power.
Furious. That's my fucking...
I'm fucking in San Francisco, dude. I don't live here. I'm here to. Are you going to go my way and you won't play it?
I'm fucking furious.
Like a fat one, bro.
You're just waiting for it all night, anticipating it, too.
Yeah, man.
What they should do is they should get fan sets. Like, I want to hear him talk about Lisa Bonet. I want to hear him talk. I want to hear him. I want to hear him play some like. I want to hear just the ones I know. I don't want to hear anything new. I don't want to hear Eddie Vedder on a ukulele.
Yeah.
I want fuck. I want his hair long for one. I want him skinny. I want buzz boots on. Yeah. I need some flannel and some head flinging.
Yeah, I don't need to hear the new shit because it's usually not that great.
Yeah. Having said that, I won't be doing all new material.
No, do you get scared sometimes? I mean, because I've been cranking material out forever, yeah. But this new one is just like, oh man, I'm like a little nervous go into it, you know, just because it's like I'm gonna take a whole chunk and then I'm just gonna throw it out. But we'll be right back and we're gonna talk more about Damone, Iowa.
Hit the post.
Yes, positive push.
You got it.
So how's the TV show going?
Good, good. Doing a third season.
We're That's awesome,
yeah,
dude.
I'm really excited. I love that show. I'll do it forever. I mean, I love.
Do you get those miles?
Oh, dude, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow. I'm in the next level elite class.
Do you get to sit in the cockpit?
No. No, I'm not like. Hey, Bert, you like Gladiator movies? No, but like it's I fucking love it. I'm airline loyal. I only fly American.
Oh, that's cool.
Only fly American. I'll fly American. Go out of my way three flights to get somewhere just because I love them. And that loyalty really fucking matters.
I hear that Doug Stanhope to keep his status, which is the most elite of elite. I think I don't know what airline the elite of the elite, like George Clooney from that movie, kind of elite.
Up in the air, yeah.
He just flew to Amsterdam, flew there, got back on a plane, flew back.
That makes sense. You know, Norton and Bobby Kelly and all those New York comics do that at the end of the year. If they can find that elite status, they just start flying back and forth from Buffalo. What you don't know is that a lot of places, like I know American, even if you fly like 200 miles, they give you a credit for 1,000. So you just start banging out. I'll fly back and forth from San Francisco all day long, and you get thousands and thousands because they won't give you 250. They'll just give you the 1,000. That status you're talking about with the George Clooney, that's my status. Like, name on the side of the plane.
You're a bad man, my friend.
Dude, wow. Flying with me is a different life experience. I go in the fucking back door. When I go to America, I go in the one that's got the velvet ropes with the red carpet, and I walk in the back door. And I go in, and they already have an iPad with my name on it. They're like, hey, Mr. Kreischer. They already know me because I fly so much. They're like, hey, Mr. Kreischer. And I'm like, hey. And there's leather couches. Peter Frampton's in there. Peter Frampton's been on, like, three of my flights.
So that's tomorrow, awesome. What's going to happen? Tomorrow, what will be your routine?
I pull up curbside, and there will be a woman with an iPad. And she'll already know me because
who dropped you off?
Hold on, there's a woman at the airport waiting for you
With an iPad. Yeah,
does
right on the
curb. Does the town car pick you up, or your wife drops you off?
Tomorrow, probably my wife will drop me off.
Okay,
I'm trying to save money, and because I blow through cash.
Where Ubering. Are you flying out? Burbank?
LAX. Never fly out of Burbank. Why? American doesn't fly out of Burbank.
Oh.
So there'll be a woman. I'll pull up, and she'll go, "Hey, Mr. Kreischer," and then we'll walk in, and then this one guy, Jose,
always meet you at the entrance at the LAX. Entrance.
Yeah, they have a iPad with everyone's name. There is a small list of people that are flying out, and they know
so
when our
flying.
Flights are leaving. And so when you pull up, you're one of 10 people, and usually. Like, it's crazy. It really is crazy. Big bands have gone through, and I'm like, holy shit. Like, I think Beyonce and Jay-Z went through the last time I was there. And so I came in, and they'll greet me. I'll go in. They'll take my bag. I don't even touch anything. They take my bags in. They take them.
Do you spa in there?
Nope. They take me up an elevator through the back way, and then they take me to the front of the first class line, and then I go through. I go through security. I don't have to take my boots off. Don't have to take my jacket off. Don't have to take my computer out of my bag. Scans through. And I'm through security, and I've timed this from the drop-off to past security in 6 minutes.
Holy what? Shit!
Is that every time?
Every single time.
Bert Kreischer, you're
a bad fucking
man.
I'm the best guy to travel with in the
world. Now, like, friends can go with you?
Yeah. I take friends all the time. When we have one of my cameramen for Trip Flip would travel with me, this guy Tyler. And I would upgrade him, and then I would upgrade him to first class, and he'd come with me. We went into Miami one time, and Miami's got a pretty great one, too. You go in. It's called I forget what it's called. I forget what the name of it is. But you go in and you go literally. It's like all glassed off, white glass. You go in, no one's in there. There's couches. You drop your shit off, go in, and then they escort you through security. They walk you through security. A lot of times the guys will do that. They'll take my bag and they'll take my ID and my boarding pass and take me up, scan it for me and get me through. Put my bags on the thing and walk through. But you got to understand, here's the reason. And I say that, people go, how much do you fly? It's not how much I fly. It's how much I fly first class. So, like, I fly business class international a lot. So, like, those tickets are fucking 20 grand a pop.
Right.
So, if I,
who's
like,
paying for that?
Production companies.
Wow.
So, nice. Like, so it's, like, I flew once back and forth from Italy, back and forth from Scotland, and back and forth from Amsterdam in 1 month. And during that time that I was coming back, I was going L.A. to Chicago, L.A. to Boston, L.A. to New York once. So every week I was either going international, and I literally looked at it, and it must have been $150,000 worth of plane tickets.
Dude, that's the closest you can get to buying your own jet. You're just below having your own jet.
Yeah, I would never be able to afford that. I flew business class to Australia. Oh, dude, they did a wine tasting on the plane.
Oh, what? I flew to Australia. It's phenomenal.
And they're like, what bottle did you like the best? And I was like, the second one. And the guy, the captain of all the stewards, came up and just put the bottle at my feet. And he goes, this one's for you for the flight. I was like, I had a bottle of I was like, this is the best flight I've ever fucking been on in my life. I got blitzed, then drank the person next to me's bottle.
I wish I could drink like you. I wish
I could smoke weed
bloat,
like you.
Bro.
Like, I wish I could smoke weed the way everyone does.
I wish I could do that too.
Like, I can drink, but I'm like, weed isn't something I could just smoke and then go chill out and watch TV. Like, if I'm going to smoke weed, it's going to be an evening. Like, we're going to be going seeing a laser light show.
Well, see, I like to go fast though. That's my problem. Really? I like Jack Daniels, yeah. Bad decisions. Yeah. That's what I'm into. I like to do Jack, drink, and try to screw some chicks. That's my problem. But as you get when you get to 40, it gets bad fast.
Oh,
what gets bad faster?
It's just like the partying every night. I mean, every night I go out. I'm not quite the party starter like you, but I can get there.
That's Darren Carter.
I'm sure you're the amount of booze that are sold at a Burt Kreischer show.
Yeah.
Have to make every club excited.
Steve Byrne told me that one time. He goes, you're frustrated young comics, and you're like, and you're just being honest with each other. And Steve was like, you know, I was really, I was blown away. Like, how do you get all these dates? And I was like, I have no idea. And he goes, I asked them, do you know why? He goes, your bar tabs are through the fucking roof. People go to your show and drink. I remember I was in Columbus one time. I was like, I'm going to see if I can drink them out of vodka. I didn't even drink them out of vodka. I drank them out of cream. I drank them out of Kahlua. I drank them, anything you would mix vodka with was gone too.
Hold on, your bar tab or your crowd's bar tab?
My crowd's bar tab.
See, I'm like, listen, I'm not going to sell it out. But yeah. I'm gonna bring boozers.
That's what
people are gonna get shit faced. And if you let me give a couple shots away and you don't get chintzy on me, I'll fucking light this place up.
Yes, that is the biggest mistake a club makes. Now the flip side is, like, if I buy a couple shots for the people in the front row, everyone starts buying shots.
Right.
Here's the big kicker is when you ready for what I do? This is the next level. I say to the club, walk around with a bottle of Jack Daniels and shot glasses. And I'm going to say I'm going to do a shot at the end of the night, and we'll all do a shot together. Just take cash. Dude, I was in Baltimore, and he was like, he had two bottles of Jack Daniels. He went through both of them, cash, and just a wad of bills. And everyone in the club's doing a shot with you. At the end of the night, you're like, thanks for coming.
God,
out, guys.
I wish I was an alcoholic. That's the coolest thing fucking ever.
That's an old school black club trick. They used to do that with Cavassier.
God damn, man.
Pass the Cavassier.
I wish I could do that, dude.
Yeah, oh, I'm a big. Brody, do you drink at all?
No, not now, but I'm naturally not a big drinker. I wouldn't mind getting back into it.
Like, get the right opportunity.
Yeah, I'm off. The particular medication I'm on won't allow me to drink right now. But
Brody, I keep hearing you thinking about getting off this medication. Can I tell?
Where have you heard
on
that?
On stage, every time I watch you. You want to get off because you can't get a boner or something like that? I don't know. That's what you mentioned on stage. I'm not throwing you under the bus here.
No, they have me on 4 different meds.
That might be shady.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. You take them all at once?
I take one in the morning and 3 at night.
Really? What are the ones at night that just help you go to sleep?
They help me with my rage. I don't have sleep issue problems, luckily.
Do you think you'll still have the rage once your show comes out? Or will you not even be happy about that?
Wait, what's your show? I know about your show. I just read about this somewhere, I think, in the trades or in online.
It's probably where my show will end up online. I'm doing a
Brody,
positive
it's going
push.
From on-demand to TV. Do you know how hard
Enjoy
that
it?
Is?
Enjoy it?
Yeah.
I've been doing it on
Comedy Central. Do you know how hard that is?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're doing a Comedy Central.
I lucked out, yes.
No, you didn't
luck blessed.
Out. Brody, you didn't luck out. You've been working your fucking ass off, and it's paying off. You didn't luck out, man.
Well, you know, I'd like to drink. I'm not going to get off my meds cold turkey. I've weaned off Klonopin. I've been on a half of Klonopin for now going on a week.
I wonder if once your show comes out and if it's a success, because some people get famous, they're never happy, but maybe that amount of success might let the rage go away, might kill the rage.
I don't have rage issues. I have OCD issues. That's all.
I have those too. Those are natural.
Yeah, it's natural. I don't get mad at scream and yell at people helping me at a department store or even somebody who's driving bad. I'm not a big honker. But I was a time, and yeah, I would get frustrated, especially with doing audience warm up or when a crowd's not laughing at a joke that you feel like they should be laughing. I think now because I'm older and, yeah, maybe as a medication I'm on, I don't get so bent out of shape or stressed out.
I just think success is going to calm you down. And people go one of two ways. They either get more angry because now they want to take revenge at everybody, or they're just like, and they just let go.
I think I'm going to be the let go guy.
I think so, too. Guys, I can't thank you enough for coming on.
It's over?
No, well, here's the thing. You are more than welcome to stay for our next hour.
Yeah.
I let you. We put out 2 hours now. We break them up. Put them out. You're more welcome to stay. We're going to have a booty contest. I'd love to have you stay. But if you can't, I understand, too. But, Bert, I think you're the best. I can't appreciate you coming
Triple
on my
I
show.
You, man.
I love
you're
you too,
small
man.
Group of people I actually
I root for
love.
You.
Can I say something? You know, I just sat back. You know, I'm that kind of guy. I'm willing to sit back, listen, soak up information. Because, yeah.
They call you the sponge of comedy because you soak up the information.
Well, I mean, that's a whole other level talking about bar tabs. I've never even considered, does my audience drink or do I have an audience? That's a whole other level.
Brody, I fucking love you.
Brody, I'm telling you, man.
I've flown business class once in my life.
I fly with Rogan all the time. It's the most amazing thing ever.
But I get to hang out in baseball dugouts. I get that. But
it's
I'd
great.
Like to fly first class one day.
All right, guys. Thank you, Playboy Radio. Everybody listening, thank you, All Things Comedy and The Naughty Show. We will be back.
Yeah, go to iTunes, subscribe, rate, review.
That's so important, everybody. Please do it.
Yes, please do it. Go to BertBertBert.com. Go to BrodyMerch.com. Go to NaughtyMerch.com. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, guys. You're
the
best.
Love you guys.